A major event at the beginning of Parshas Bahalusacha is the induction of the Levium into office. And this is an episode which is described in many psukim, and I thought we might look in some detail through the Meforshim in regard to the actual language which is used, which will also indicate to us more than meets the eye. And therefore we begin at the beginning, Perek Ches, Posuk, Vov. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor. Kach es ha'leviyim mitoch b'nei Yisrael, v'tiharto osom, v'chosa selohem le'taharom, hazei aleihem meichatos. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to take the Levium from amongst the B'nai Yisrael and to purify them with the Meichatos, the water which contains the ashes of the Poro Aduma. First of all, to mention that this particular episode, according to the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach, occurred already on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year, and therefore events are not written in chronological order, because the counting and the positioning of the various tribes as they camped and journeyed, which is mentioned at the beginning of the Sefer, takes place on the beginning of the second month of the second year. So as we will see in regards to these episodes related at the beginning of the Sefer, Ein Muktam Umeuchor Baturam. The question that we have to ask, there are a number of questions already that we have to ask. What is conveyed by the words, Kach es ha'leviyim mitoch b'nei Yisroel? If the instruction was merely to purify the Levium, then the instruction to purify the Levium would obviously imply that they have to be taken and purified in the appropriate fashion. And that is a question which Rashi has, and therefore Rashi explains, it doesn't mean actually to take them, it means to persuade them by indicating to them the greatness of the task on which they are to embark. What I would like to draw your attention to is a most fascinating thesis answering both of these questions, which is contained in the Ponim Yofos. The Ponim Yofos is that Pelish on the Torah, which is authored by the Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, who of course also the masterworks Haflo and Hamakne. And the Ponim Yofos says as follows, Ulefi Peshita, according to the simple understanding of these words, Kach es ha'leviyim, I would like to suggest, Yesh leparech, lefi shehaleviyim hayu nefutzim b'chol Yisroel. It is certainly true that even before the instruction as to how the Jewish people were to encamp the tribes to the north and south and east and west, and the degolim that were to accompany each tribe, even before these announcements were brought to the attention of B'nai Yisrael, as soon as B'nai Yisrael had left Mitzrayim, they had already gone out, al sivo som, which according to Chazal means, according to their tribes. So even before they had been instructed in regards to how they should camp, where they should camp, how they should journey, Jewish people, from the time they came out of Mitzrayim, had already organized themselves into their own shvatim. However, the tribe of Levi was not allowed, says the Ponim Yofos. The tribe of Levi was not allowed to encamp in one group. Why? They had to be scattered amongst the tribes in order to fulfill what Yaakov Avinu had said about them already in Parshas Vayechi, Achalekeim b'Yaakov, ba'afitzeim b'Yisrael. I will apportion them amongst Jacob, and I will scatter them amongst Israel. In other words, Kach es ha'leviyim means you have got to go out into the camp of Israel, and you have to collect the Leviim who are scattered throughout the camp of Israel. That is what Kach es ha'leviyim means. And goes on further to say, and that will also explain to us the idea that they were scattered and had to be brought together as one group. That will explain to us why it is when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and saw the B'nai Yisrael worshipping the Egel Azov, and he said, Mi la'Hashem Elai, whoever it is for Hashem, let him come to me, says the Pasuk, Vay Eyosefu Elov. called B'nai Levi. And all the tribe of Levi were gathered to him. Now we might have assumed that to mean that when he asked Mila Shaviloi, so immediately Shevet Levi rushed to his side. Says the Ponim Yofas, that's not what it means. It means that the Levium who were scattered amongst the various tribes in Israel, they then gather themselves together at the side of Moshe Rabbeinu. So kach omar, kach es halavim mitoch b'nei Yisrael, she is asafu yachad. So that's the first point that we've raised. What is kach es halavim? Says the Ponim Yofos, it means bring them together from the various places amongst the various tribes where they have already been scattered. Now, what is this hazeh aleihem mechatos? They have to be sprinkled with the water which contains the ashes of the red heifer. That is usually something which is done if people have been in touch with death. Uma shekosuv, and when the posuk says, Hazei aleihem mechatos, sprinkle over them the mechatos, the water containing the ashes of the red heifer. How come that they need it? Mipenei shenitmu'u b'maase ho'egel. Because the Levium had become defiled, impure, at the episode of the Egel, Sh'omar Moshe Rabbeinu, one of our Sholem, when Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Levium, who assembled to him, Hiragu ish es achiv, let each man kill even his own brother. Right? And therefore, when they went around killing, even though they may not have actually touched the dead body itself, but benitmu b'chal al cherev. But we know, of course, that the sword which kills defiles like the mace itself. Cholol, the cherev metame kecholol. So therefore, vayipol min o'om kishiroshis al feyish. So therefore, since the Levium were involved in killing 3,000 people, so therefore they came in touch with death, and now they have to be purified with the mechatos. Now there is a classic question. If indeed the Levium have to have the Mechatos sprinkled over them because they were involved with death, we are entitled to assume that many others from the B'nai Yisrael were likewise involved with death. Who buried them? Who looked after them? They didn't come under the same roof. They didn't touch them. So why is it then, says the Ponim Yofos, if indeed the Levium have to be purified because they killed 3,000 from the B'nai Yisrael, and therefore Cherev Metamek Echolol, why is there no indication whatsoever that one other member of B'nai Yisrael has to go through a similar process, a similar ritual of purification because they came in touch with death? No indication whatsoever. How can that be? Says the Ponim Yofos as follows, a classic observation. The Efshar, it is possible, he suggests it as Efshar. It is possible, She Yisroel lo hayu tzirichin tahara. It could very well be that the other members of B'nai Yisrael did not need to be purified. Why? Mipnei she'adluchos shenios hayo lohem din ben Noach. It could very well be, says the Ponim Yofos, that the rest of B'nai Yisrael indeed were in touch with death, but did not need Tahara, because up to the time the Luchos were given for a second time, the rest of the Jewish people enjoyed the status of B'nai Noach, not Yisroelim. How do I know? Because Chazal say, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos when he came down and saw them worshipping the Yegel? Because Sheshaviras Haluchos Hoya Lodun Osam Kedin Penuya. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the B'nai Yisrael were worshipping the Yegel, he broke the Luchos. Why, say Chazal? Because the Luchos is the, as it were, the Kesef Kiduchin. It is the object with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu and B'nai Yisrael are going to be betrothed to each other. And Moshe Rabbeinu would rather that the B'nai Yisrael were considered, as it were, unattached, and having sinned as unattached, rather than to be considered as having sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they were in fact betrothed to him. And this you may remember is a chazal which we also brought in the Meshech Chochmah in Parshas Achrimos. The chazal says clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm breaking the luchos now so that the Bnei Israel who are sinning is like a woman who has sinned as an unattached person rather than a woman who has sinned in a married state. So what do we see from the chazal? That Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately broke that object which was to form the bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. So therefore Bnei Yisrael at the moment, because the first luchos are broken, and therefore they are awaiting a second set of luchos, which is to bring that particular kiddushin into effect, until that moment, they are considered to be unattached, which for our purposes, from a halachic point of view, means up to the time of the giving of the second luchos and being brought down to the Bnei Yisrael are considered to be Bnei Noach. And this is not fanciful, because as you will appreciate, this in its own way provides a most dramatic answer to a question which we raised in the name of the Marsho in Yomo and in the name of the Meshech Chochmah Parshas Vayakel. And it is, surely the punishment for a Yisroel who worships Avodah Zarah is Sekila. Stunning. So why then is it that the Bnei Yisrael who were involved in the worshipping of the golden calf were killed for Misas Sayif, not for Misas Sekila? Misas Sayif is a punishment that goes to a Ben Noach who worships Avodah Zarah. Says the Fonami office, of course, because they are Bnei Noach. Until the time the second luchos are given, they are indeed Bnei Noach, and a Ben Noach is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, and if he does so, Misas Sayif. So if indeed, up to the moment when they received the luchos chinios, they were considered to be as Bnei Noach, is the kol shechein kishahoyu b'mitzrayim hoyo lehem din Bnei Noach she'ein mekabelim tuma, and a Ben Noach cannot become tamei. Zos chukas haTorah, says the Torah at the beginning of the parsha Poro Aduma. Zos chukas haTorah. It's only Bnei Yisrael who've received the Torah who can become Tomei, and who have the dinim of Tuvetara. A goy cannot become Tomei. So now we know why it is that the rest of Bnei Yisrael did not need to have Tahara, because they had a din of Ben Noach who cannot become Tomei, and therefore those dinim do not apply to him. Aval, says the Ponim Yopos, Shevet Levi, the Shevet Levi are an exception. Hoyu b'kedusha son tamid. They always kept themselves b'kedusha, k'meshe kosav ha-Ramban zal, as the Ramban himself points out, shehoyu mekayim in bris v'torah, miyamos Yaakov avihem, and they had been singled out by Yaakov Avinu to maintain the shalshelas ha-Kabbalah, and therefore Levi and Levi alone had the status of Yisroel from yesteryear. Is hoyalohem din Yisrael mekabel tuma v'tzarichem mechatos letahem itumasmes. Levi, Shevet Levi, is singular in that they enjoy the status of Yisraelim from the moment they were summoned by Yaakov Avinu to their task. And they kept Uvarisicha Yinsoru. They were the only ones who kept Brismila in Mitzrayim, as we know, and various other testimonies of Chazal, that they had kept themselves as Yisroelim from the time they came into Mitzrayim. That is why they were exempt from Shibud and all the other various comments of Chazal. So therefore, if you want to know, says the Ponim Yopos, why it is that Shevet Levi has to have the Tahar of the Mechatos, is because they are Yisroelim, and Yisroelim can become Temeim and have to have Tahar, whereas the rest of Bnei Yisrael, up to the giving of the Luchos Shnios, were indeed enjoy the status of Bnei Noach. When they receive the Luchos Shnios, then they obtain the status of Yisroelim. That's this particular thing. Now let's go further. And here, a fascinating inyonim will emerge. And I've brought the Perush of the Malbim. It's not very often that we take a Perush which goes through Pasuk by Pasuk. But as you will see, there is just no other way in which one can convey the majesty and simplicity of the Malbim's interpretation of these Psukim. Let us begin then with Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'heinif Aharon is halavim chenu falipnei Hashem. Aharon will then wave the levim. Well, it was a strenuous day. He waved no less than 22,000 levim. It's just quite something, right? No. As he does, as they state, V'heinif Aharon is halavim chenu falipnei Hashem. He is for Israel, etc. Fine. So let us now have a look, and we will discover that not only Aharon is involved in waving the levim, but Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'heinafto is Aharon. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, position the levim lifnei Aharon v'lifnei Bonav, in front of Aaron and in front of his sons. V'heinafto osam. And you will wave them. So it was done by Aharon and by Moshe. Why was that? Follow with the Malbim. It's a masterpiece. V'heinif. Hinei hoyu ba'levim shetei tenufos. There were two wavings of the levim. Echod al yedei Aharon v'yechod al yedei Moshe. One by Aharon and one by Moshe. V'kol echod hoyo lo hora'o acheres. And each waving fulfilled a different function. Kinaso ba'levim shenei inyonim. Because in initiating the levim into service, they are being initiated into two different types of service. Number one, Ma shebnei Yisrael nosnu osam lachem. The first service that they are being initiated into is the fact that bnei Yisrael are giving them to Hashem to serve him. Hainu she'ad ato hoyeso ho'avodo bibechoros. That means to say, in regards to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, up to now the service had been the prerogative of the firstborn. V'yato nosnu b'nei Yisrael es halavim seylef b'choreihem she'yikhonesu tachtom la'avodo b'inyonei avodos Hashem she'shayochem la'levim k'mo hashir v'domo. Now the Levim are going to take the place of the Bechoros, and they are going to be initiated into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform those special functions which only the Levim can do, e.g. Hashir V'Domov. They are the ones who will sing, U'Levim V'Duchonom, V'Domov, and other similar matters. U'Letzoretzeh, and as a gesture of the initiation of the Levim instead of the Bechoros into the service of Hashem, Hainif Osam Aharon. Aharon waved them. That was the sign that they are now being designated as servants of Hashem. And of course it is Me'eis B'nei Yisrael. Ki Bozeh, because in regard to this waving, Hoyok Sheliach Shel Yisrael, Aaron is an emissary, an agent of the people. Shehei Mosru Osam. They are the ones who are giving them over. Shall you they came, and through this waving, Hoyo Lavod is Avodas Hashem, Tachasho Hoyo Ho Avoda Bechoros. So before it was the Bechoros, now the Levim are being initiated into the service of Hashem, and that initiation takes place by Aharon waving them as an agent of the people. Next, the Ha'amadito. Position the Levim now, second stage, position them in front of Aharon and his sons, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, wave them. What's the pshat? Because there was a second initiation. Inyan beis hoyo ba'levim, ma shenitnu el Aharon le'ezer el hakohanim v'yavodosom k'mo shechito v'havshoto. The Levim are being initiated into a second type of service, and that is, apart from their own special functions, as we have explained up to now, they have a further function, that they are to be assistants to the Kohanim. As in the shkita, and in the skinning of the animal, the chen b'maso ha-mishkon, and likewise in the carrying of the mishkon, she'ad ato hoyoze mutal al klal Yisrael, which up to now had not been the duty of the Levim, it had been the duty of the people. So now the Levim are to be inducted into office as assistants to Aharon. So therefore, v'yalzeh he'emido som Moshe lifnei Aharon v'lifnei Bonav, le'mosro me'lov. So therefore they are positioned in the front of Aaron and his sons, so that they should be inducted into service of these people. And Moshe Rabbeinu waves them, shemoreh, which indicates Shemoshe hu shliach me Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu is now the shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, limsor es halevim li Aharon, in order to give the Levim to Aharon, kamo sheyivvoer, as will be explained. Now, then the next pasuk goes on to say, follow him carefully. The Hivdalto, now that you are going to do these two things, through the process of these two inductions, v'yaliyadei hamaisim o'ele, through these two wavings, tavdilei mitoch b'nei Yisrael, v'amer sheyihiyu li muchanim lihiyos mishoros ha'yachem. And of course, after they have been inducted, they of course will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what the pasuk says. Now go on to the next underlined section. Now I want to explain to you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why it is that there have to be two wavings. The Torah itself gives the reason. Number one, Ki nisunim nisunim heimali. As the pasuk says, Ki nisunim nisunim heimali mitoch b'nei Yisrael, tachas pitras kol rechem, b'chol kol b'nei Yisrael, lokachti osam li. That is the reason for the first waving. Because they are to be given over to me instead of the Bechorim, that is why we had the first Tenufa. Why then is there a second waving, as Pasuk Yutes says? Because ve'et noes halevi'im, I am now going to give the Levi'im nesunim li'aharon ulevanav. The second induction is, now that you have consecrated the Levi'im to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki nesunim nesunim heimali, now that you have given them over to me in my service, instead of the Bechoros, now I am going to share the Levi'im. I am now going to tell the Levi'im, part of your responsibilities is not only to serve me, but also to serve the Kohanim. That's why the next pasuk goes on to say, Ve'et noes ha-Levi'im, now I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am going to give the Levi'im nesunim li'aharon ulevanav mitoch b'nei Yisrael. And that is why there has to be a second waving, and that is why the waving cannot be done a second time by Aharon, because the waving is being done on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to now wave the Levi'im in front of Aharon and his children in order to indicate that they are being initiated into the service of Aharon and his sons. So here the Malbim most beautifully portrays why it is that there are two Tenufos, and how they are mentioned explicitly, and how the Psukim themselves indicate, without any problems in interpretation, why it is that we had to have two Tenufos. One is to initiate the Levi'im into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other is now that they have been initiated into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Aharon does as a shliach of Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu then takes those Levi'im who have been consecrated to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, inducts the Levi'im into the service of the Kohanim. And that's how the parsha goes. Okay. Now we move on. One of the most famous sections in the Parsha is, of course, the Parsha of Pesach, Pesach Midbar, as it's known. And here, again, a number of fascinating inyonim will emerge. Let us begin. The Pasuk, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, Bachodesh Orishon. A number of fascinating inyonim. Parsha Shebarosh HaSeifa Lo Nemro Adior. Says Rashi. This particular episode begins Bashana Hashenis Piyach Bachodesh Horishon in the first month of the second year. And we know that the parsha at the beginning of Bamidbar was not said until Rochodesh Iyar Lomadata. From here you learn She'ein Seder Muktam Umeuchor Batorah. From here you learn that the Torah does not maintain a chronological order. Fine. Then, having said everything, as we would imagine, Rashi goes on to say, "V'lomo lo posach v'zu." So why didn't the Torah not open with this? So Reb Chaim Ivolozhin says, "What are you talking about? You've just said why it doesn't. Because I looked him umhuchar b'Torah." So what are you talking about? "V'lomo lo posach v'zu." Whenever you say "ain muktum umhuchar b'Torah," you don't give a reason. You say as eidos. That's the way it is. Torah is not a history book. It doesn't maintain the chronological order. What's this "v'lomo lo posach v'zu"? It's on the basis of this question, Reb Chaim Ivolozhin is prepared to suggest that there is a typist's error here. And it's not Velomo at all. It's an abbreviation. It's a second reply. The first answer is, the reason why they're not written in the proper order is, Shein Muktum Mukhabat Torah. Ulefi Medrash Haggadah. And according to the Medrash Haggadah, Velomo was Rosh HaTevis. Ulefi Medrash Haggadah, and according to the Medrash Haggadah, Lo Posach Pesu. The Torah didn't want to begin the book of Bamidbar with this episode. Why? Mipenei Shehi Ginuson Shel Yisrael. Because this episode records the shame of our people. Shekol Arboim Shana Shehayu Yisrael Bamidbar, because the entire 40 years that our people wandered in the wilderness, Lo Hikrivu Ela Pesach Zebilvad. This is the only place that they brought. So the reason why it doesn't begin with this particular episode is because this is to our shame. The entire 40 years that we were in the Midbar, we brought one Korban Pesach. Now, let us have a look at the Gur Aryeh. Says the Gur Aryeh as follows. Hikshu batosfos bepirikama de kiddushin. The Tosafos in Gemara Kiddushin, towards the end of the first Perik, asks the following question. Ma genus yesh bozeh? What's the shame in only bringing this one? V'halolo nischayevu bepesach ad shebo liyeret Yisrael. Is it not known that according to the Chazal, they were not obligated to bring a Korban Pesach until they came to Eretz Yisrael? Kiddushiv, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, V'hoya kisavohu el ha'aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, ushumar kemes to avodah hazos, then you've got to do this avodah. The course of Rashi with Parshas Bo, and Rashi says quite distinctly in Parshas Bo there, Tola mitzvahs Pesach, the biyoson li Eretz Yisrael, the bringing of the Korban Pesach is dependent on their coming into Eretz Yisrael, shelo nischayivu lasosas of Pesach, ad biyoson li Eretz Yisrael, because they were not obligated to bring the Korban Pesach until they come to Eretz Yisrael. Chutz meyoso Pesach, she'osu v'ashono shniyah. Except this particular one Pesach, which they brought in the second year of their sojourn in the wilderness, Shenishayevu Boal Piyadibur, where they brought it because they were told to bring it. The Imkein Maginus Yeshkan. So what's the shame? You're exempt from bringing the Korban Pesach until you come to Eretz Yisrael. They haven't come yet. So why do you say it's the shame of the Bnei Yisrael? Says the Tosfos, Vetiritu Batosfos. Kivon shebishvil chetom nishtahu bamidbar, imkein hainu genus shelohem, shilmole chetom hoyubom laoretz miyad, kein tiritu atesis. Says the Tesis, the shame is that they sinned with the Meraglim, which caused them to be delayed in the wilderness a further 40 years, and that is their shame. Their shame is that they caused themselves to remain in the Midbar when they could have arrived 40 years earlier in Eretz Yisrael and been obligated to bring the Korban Pesach. So the shame is not that they brought this one. The shame is that they delayed in the Midbar as a result of their sin. That's their shame. Now the Maharal, of course, can always be relied upon for a most novel approach, and here is no exception. Ulefi da'ati ein sorich. According to my understanding, says the Maharal, one does not need to come on to the answer of Tosfos. She'af im hu potor min hamitzvah, o machmas onso, o shepitoro, genai hulo,
the south south low also hamitzvah kamoshonim shehoya bamitzvah. When the rabbis tell us that it is a shame for them that they only brought one korban pesach during the entire 40 years, and Tosfos raises the question, what's the tumult? What's the shame? They were not in a situation where they were obligated. They were exempt. Says the Gur Aryeh, because you are exempt from fulfilling a mitzvah, you cannot deny the fact that you lack its fulfillment. And if you lack its fulfillment, that is a negative aspect of you. You don't have it. The boy comes into cheder, and he says to the teacher, the teacher says to the bocher, why weren't you in shul yesterday? Why weren't you in cheder yesterday for the shiur? He says, I have a good reason why I wasn't in the shiur. You don't become a Talmud Chacham. Yes, you have exemptions. No question about it. You are entitled to say, I'm in the wilderness, I'm exempt. But you cannot deny the fact that you lack the added luster that you could have had you brought the korban pesach. Shekol mishehu poter min hamitzvah machmas shehu onus. Because let us not deny, says the Maharal, that a person who doesn't bring a korban or doesn't do a mitzvah because he is not able to do so, upper genai hulo, it's still a reflection on him. Shelo also hamitzvah, at the end of the day, he didn't do the mitzvah. Because when the rabbis say, Onus Rachmona Patre, a person who is forced to do a sin, he is exempted from punishment. But if a person doesn't keep a mitzvah because of onus, we do not consider it as if he has performed the mitzvah. That we never say. So therefore the Maharal says, in my opinion, the genus is quite simply the fact that the Bnei Yisrael were without the added merit of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach for all of these years. And despite the fact that legally we have no claim on them, we cannot in any way indict them for not doing it. But we can say, hello, it's still a reflection on him. Shalom also hamitzvah, at the end of the day, he didn't do the mitzvah. Shalom amrinan onus rachmona patre rakli inyan peturmino onus. Because when the rabbis say, onus rachmona patre, a person who is forced to do a sin, he is exempted from punishment. But if a person doesn't keep a mitzvah because of onus, we do not consider it as if he has performed the mitzvah. That we never say. So therefore the Maharal says, in my opinion, the genus is quite simply the fact that the Bnei Yisrael were without the added merit of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach for all of these years. And despite the fact that legally we have no claim on them, we cannot in any way indict them for not doing it, but we can say to them that when you didn't fulfill this mitzvah of Korban Pesach, there is no question that it has left a void in your souls which otherwise would have been filled with this mitzvah. So, as far as we are concerned, the common bond between the Maharal and Tosfos is that both are in agreement that there is absolutely no question that the genai is the fact that not more than one Korban Pesach was brought during the entire 40 years. For Tosfos, the genai is because they themselves caused themselves to remain in the Midbar and therefore brought about a situation where they were exempt. And the Maharal says no. The fact that they were exempt for whatever reason it may be, the fact of the matter is, you didn't have the zechus of the kiyum hamitzvah, and that in itself is your genai. Now, contrast this with the opinion of the Meshech Chochma, which is quite startling. these occasions? Of course, the answer is Alfi Hadiburton.
Loma ni gora levilti hakriv.
Now, says the Meshechach, Yitachein, it appears to me, the Tana de Rabbi Yishmael, this is the Gemara that Tosus in Kedushin quotes. Kol mokum shenem abiyo, whenever the Torah says v'hayaki savo, that is only liyacha yerusha v'yeshiva hakosim v'daber, right? Is im telo hoyu mitzuvim ala chesach, hum yishuv hachi lo yikrivu kol yimei hayosam b'midbar? So they weren't obliged. So therefore, says the Meshech Chochma, v'hod yikrivu b'shon abeis u'v'gilgol, there were two occasions when they brought it, before Yerusha and Yeshiva. Once now in Baal Osecha, and once as soon as they crossed over the Yarden, as is related in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. Now why did they do that on both of these occasions? Of course the answer is, Al-Pi Hadibur Hoya, as they say, Tesis Sefer Kamer Degadushim. Why? Everybody agrees. These two occasions were Al-Pi Hadibur. Says Meshech Chochma, look what a man does here. V'hatam shenitzdavu nir. Let's ask a question. Why is it that the Bnei Yisrael were commanded to bring a Korban Pesach Dafke this year? And Dafke in Gilgal? And not in between? That's also a question worthy of note. What's it all about? To give them a mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Why Dafke this year, the second year that they were in the wilderness, and finally when they got out of the wilderness, before Yerusha and Yeshiva? Why? Says Meshech Chochma, V'hatam shenitzdavu nireh. Demotzanu bekamo mekomos. We find in many places in Tanakh, Shehuvdelu mi'avodah zarah li'avodas Hashem yisborach nishmo ha'miyuchot hoya al yedei Pesach. We find in Tanakh that the final, the Makabatish, the final act in getting Bnei Yisrael away from having been steeped in Avodah Zarah, when you've removed all the Avodah Zarah from wherever it is, the Makabatish, the final act, the culmination of all that went before to remove Avodah Zarah, is to bring a Korban Pesach. Kamo shemotsonu b'chizkiyahu, as we find and mentioned in Dibrei Hayoma by Chizkiyahu, achrei shebiaru kol hatuma, after, you know, because Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu, had allowed Avodah Zarah to spread in his land, and Chizkiyahu came, and he told the Bnei Yisrael to remove all Avodah Zarah, v'hotziu hanideh, which is a word to describe the Avodah Zarah, v'heviu korbanos l'chapel al shikikas Avodah Zarah. And what happened? For those of you who remember, Chizkiyahu discovered that they will not be able to bring a Korban Pesach in time, because Avodah Zarah is metameh. And the Bnei Yisrael were so busy getting rid of the Avodah Zarah from their land that the job would not be completed until well after Pesach. So what did he do? He added on an extra month. Because Chizkiyahu HaMelech understood, says Meshech Chochma, that the culmination of all our efforts to rid the land of Avodah Zarah, the culmination is the bringing of a Korban Pesach. Because the Korban Pesach in its own way, we know what it was in Eretz Mitzrayim. It was flying in the face of the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. Therefore the Korban Pesach is in its own way the ultimate declaration, the ultimate renunciation of Avodah Zarah and the embracing of the Avodah Hashem Yisborah. That is why Chizkiyahu of all years could not countenance this particular year when Avodah Zarah had been removed from his land, that this should dafke be the year that because of our efforts there was no Korban Pesach. Because the Korban Pesach dafke is the moment when we dedicate ourselves, we refute Avodah Zarah, and we dedicate ourselves to Avodah Hashem Yisborah. If that is so, v'lochein, now we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the commandment of Korban Pesach now and in Gilgal. Because this is the Pesach following the Yegel Hazar. V'lochein acharei sheyosu Yisrael ha'egel. And therefore, after the B'nai Yisrael had bought the eagle and worked the eagle as off, Sivo Hashem Yisborach Bashona Hashenis le'asau sa'apesa le'harchikam u'le'habdilam u'le'taharam mi'gidu le'am u'le'zoro u'le'hevlehem. There has to be a Korban Pesach this year. Because you became a Meshtan of Edazorah. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain and rid of Edazorah and their worshippers from the people. But the Maccabah Patish, the culmination of all these efforts, is like with Hiskia. Here's the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has to be brought this year. The Chayin Bishnasu Arboim. And so it was in the 40th year. Because of the 40th year of the sojourn in the wilderness, the last year before the immersion to Eretz Yisrael, Shetol Baal Pahor. It was also a year when they became ensnared by Avodah Zarah. Such a genius. Why, Yitzhomi Yisrael Baal Pahor. All Siva Hashem Yisburach Lassus HaPesach Begilgol after Hoyokodim Kibush Vich. Maharal says, and Taisa says, the genus was that they didn't bring any more than two or more than one. Says Meshech Chochma, the genus is not that they didn't bring more. The genus is that they had to be commanded to bring this one. This is mind-boggling. We would have thought that the genus is that they were only in the wilderness. Only one did they bring. Meshech Chochma doesn't sing it like that. It's not only one. It's the one that they brought that's shouting genus. Because it was brought after the Chet Ha'egel, as was the one after Baal Peor brought in Gilgal, both of them, before Yerusha v'Yeshiva, because the Korban Pesach had a special function to fulfill, which reflected Lignai on the B'nai Yisrael on both occasions. Something very, very extraordinary. We move on now. One of the classic observations in the Torah is, in this parsha, Imperik Tes Pasuk Yud Ches. I just want to bring it in as something beautiful to see how the proportion goes through the siddurs. Perik Tes Pasuk Yud Ches. Alfi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael, by the mouth of Hashem, the B'nei Yisrael journeyed. The Alfi Hashem Yachanu, and by the mouth of Hashem they camped. And you have the next Pasuk, Pasuk Kaf. Alfi Hashem Yachanu. V'alfi Hashem Yitzor. Says the Shaloh HaKodesh. Just beside the Ponem Yop. The Shaloh HaKodesh. Alfi Hashem Yitzor, V'alfi Hashem Yachanu, V'yachakach Kisiv, Alfi Hashem Yachanu, V'alfi Hashem Yitzor. Yesh Romeiz Musar Bekan. There is an ethical exhortation in these two psukim. Al kol pe'ula o tenua she'ha'adam oseh. In regards to anything that a person undertakes, Yomar, he has to say, Im yirtzeh Hashem. If Hashem will desire. O be ezrat Hashem, or with the help of Hashem. Lamoshel, for example. V'lechto baderech, if he is going on the way, Yomar, he should say, Hinini noseh abi ezrat Hashem. I am now journeying with the help of Hashem. Uvedato lachanos b'makom ploni, and if it is his intention to rest in a certain place, he should say, v'yezroso yisporachim yirtzeh. I would like to do this with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he will desire. Ukashaba l'makom hachaniya, and when he finally comes to his resting place, oz yachzor, he should then go back, v'yitain shevach, and give praise, v'yomer, and say, hinei b'yezret Hashem yisporach, bosi heina, with the help of Hashem I have come here. Uvedati lisal is man koloni bi ezroso yitzborach kin yirtzeh. And at so-and-so date, I intend to move on if HaKadosh Baruch will this. Nimzor shem shomayim shogur befir. So you see, if you act in that way, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always to be found on your mouth. Vishor she'ole b'machshavto. At the time when you express your intentions, uvishas maise, and when you are actually involved in implementing it, very, very, very beautiful inyan which the Shachrish. It's a matter of interest that the Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha announced on one Shabbos morning to his gathering that it is his intention to leave the next day for Eretz Yisrael. And Moitzi Shabbos, his Rebbe got sick, and Azay is given. And the Chofetz Chaim says, I never said in Yisrael Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Padri. That's why I never came to Eretz. Let us move on now to the closing section of the Siddur. The Siddur is filled with beautiful themes. Let us look now at towards the end of the Siddur, the episode with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon and Miriam, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel. V'hoish Moshe onav miyod mikol ha'adam asher al p'nei ho'adama. Which translated, the way we usually translate it is, and Moshe Rabbeinu was humble, greatly, very humble mikol ha'adam of all men asher al p'nei ho'adama who were on the face of the land, of the ground. There is a famous essay of the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chochma, in his work on the Rambam. In Hilchis Teshuvah, he has a long, long essay on the statement in Pirkei Avos, Hakol Tzafui V'Horeshus Netzuna. And towards the end of it, the Or Sameach has the following paragraph, which I bring to your attention. V'hineni lehazkir po dover echot, I would like at this juncture to mention one thought, me avi abo, from my paternal grandfather, hu zekeini harav Reb Chananya Kohen Zatza. Shebi'er boze hakosu, who offered an interpretation of the following pasuk, who Moshe hoya onov miyod mikol hoadam asher al pnei hoadam. Who kvar noda she'ela safilazot. The philosopher's question on this statement is well known. Eich yitachein ze bechei kohenushi. How is it possible for a human being Lehiyos shafel be'erko mimi shepochos mimenu. To consider himself lower than people who are much lower than he is. How is it possible? Halo zerak hedel ha'arochas hamalu. It can only come about because you have not correctly evaluated your own distinction. Otherwise, why would you consider yourself more humble, more lowly than people who are indeed lower than you? And even though there are many drushim which have been offered in response to this question, says Reb Chananya HaKohen, in reality, it was these very distinctive features of Moshe Rabbeinu which brought about his humility. What do we mean? Ki lizoras chumri Yusuf ubihiras gashmo asher nishapech leruchoni v'nale Yosef mikol hanivroim. Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to heights that no other individual in the history of mankind has ascended to those heights, nor ever will ascend. And he saw the image, the appearance of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, face to face, whatever that means. But I can tell you one thing, no other Navi saw Hashem ponim el ponim, whatever it means. And Moshe Rabbeinu no longer even had free will. He was like an angel. Fascinating that this is the thesis that forms the introduction of the Meshech Chochma himself to Sefer Shemos. And the Meshech Chochma bases his thesis on a pasuk in Parshas Yisro. Hine anochi bo elecha b'yav he'onon. Behold, I am coming to you in the thickness of a cloud. Ba'avur yishma ha'om b'davri imach. So that the people will hear when I speak to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. And they will believe in you forever. Asks the Meshech Chochma. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80. He lived for another 40 years. Hakol Tzafui V'Horeshus Netzuna. Free will is given. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu know that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to be subsequently a Mechalel Shabbat? An Ochel Nevelis Litzvetes? How did he know?
Everybody got free will. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'gam b'cho yaminu li'olam. They will believe in you forever. Says Meshech Chochmah, there is only one conclusion that we can come to. And that is that Moshe Rabbeinu, from that moment on, was Nedar HaBechira. His free will was taken away from him. He became like a malach. And that's the theme that his grandfather sees. He had no tzivui. There was no mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu to believe. He saw everything. He didn't have to believe there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. He saw him. He didn't have to believe there is a heaven. He was there. The Hoyo Ro'er to Ulas called Mitzvah U Mitzvah. And he saw the spiritual benefits that accrue to the individual who performs a mitzvah because he was up there. He saw what happened. Ah, Lokach Nihiyeh Shefel B'Yerko Mul HaPocha Shebiyis. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was humbler than the smallest man. Shehu B'Sumoso Tzorech Lahamin. Because the ordinary individual hasn't seen what I saw. He has to take it on faith. V'Hoyo B'Chiri. And he is given free will. And if after the fact that he is given free will and never saw what I saw, he still opts to keep the Torah and to keep its commandments, then he must be greater than I am. Because there's no chokhmah for me. I know it. That is why the pasuk should be read, U'Moshe hayon of miyot nikolo adam. Moshe Rabbeinu is more humble than any other person. Why? Because Asher al Pnei HaAdama, the rest of civilization is al Pnei HaAdama. I'm up in the heavens. So therefore, I have to take my hat off, or whatever the appropriate rabbinic expression is, to these people who don't see what I see, who are not privileged to enjoy what I have enjoyed, and who still believe, and the Imam in Bemuna Shalemu it. Uvameh hoya onav? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu the onav? Sheheimo al Paneho Adomo, because they were people who are on the Paneho Adomo, but the Romeo, they haven't seen what I've seen. And what they have is what I don't have. They have a mitzvah of Emunah, and wherever they go, they have freedom of choice. Lo chein ha'ish Moshe. That's not the way it is with Moshe Rabbeinu. Ish Elohim, he is a man of God. The Olol Merom Shomayim, he has ascended to the heights of heaven. As the Meshech Chochma concludes, V'divrei Pi Chochem Chein. And what a wonderful interpretation. The humility is well founded, because the humility is a reflection on the fact that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu does from now on, he does so because he does not have to be convinced. People who walk to the edge of a cliff and choose not to walk over, those are people not to be complimented, because they see the consequences so clearly that there is no chokhm. They move back, of course. Moshe Rabbeinu, who sees everything and knows everything, ponim el ponim, etc., etc., for him to opt, as it were, to keep all the mitzvahs, that's no chokhm. The chokhm is for the ordinary ish poshut. It's a very, very wonderful meshechokhm. Let me conclude, let me call it a rabbinic P.S. As we know, the praises of Moshe Rabbeinu are sung by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you know who he is? Moshe Rabbeinu is head and shoulders above everybody else. But what does it say about him to begin with? Talk of Zion. Lo chein avdi Moshe. That's not the way it is with my servant Moshe Rabbeinu. Bechol deisi ne'eman hu. In all my house, he is faithful. I can tell you there are brisketeiras from Hank Bezachis Hayomim. Bechol deisi ne'eman hu. What it means, the special dog and the of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was able to be sure it's like himself. If he had any question, he could ask. There are tire tirem shel halachas on this Bechol Beis Inam. I happened to be perusing the Moshav Zakenim, which incidentally is a parish on the Torah from the Baalei HaTosa. And I came across the following. Parish Hori, what is Bechol Beis Din Ne'emonu? In all my house he is faithful. Parish Hori. The read of Alatesis explains as follows. Lefi Shene'emar. This comment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reflection on what was said by Moshe, by Miriam, about Moshe Rabbeinu. Lefi Shene'emar, Vatedaber Aharon u'Miriam alodos ho'isho hakushis asher lakach. They spoke about the Cushite woman whom he had married, which is none other than Tzipora. Now, our normal understanding is that they spoke about her in the following way, that Moshe Rabbeinu has separated himself from his wife, and this is not appropriate, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu also spoke to us, and we didn't separate ourselves from our partners. That's the way we usually take Alodos Huishakushitakilakot. No. Alodos Huishakushitakilakot means the following, says the Ri. The Omru Lola Moshe, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Sheyikach Acheres Miyucheses V'aniach Zos Shehimid Yonis. They spoke about the Isha Kushis Hashem Lakoch. You know what they said? They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Pasach Nishn, you're married to a woman who's not Miyucheset. She comes from Chutz Letchum. She's a Midyanis. She's a Giyunis. Not right? You know what I mean? After all, you're the head of the Jewish people. We think maybe it might be an idea if you part with her and marry somebody who comes from a family which is more miyuchet. Moshe lo rotso. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to be parted from her. Me'achar shelikocho kishohoya oni. Because when he married her, he was a refugee. V'yato, and now, hoya melech, that he is a king. Lo rotso legarisho. He's not going to marry, he's not going to divorce her now. She married him when he was a pauper. She's entitled to live with me now I've become a king. V'lochein omar, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant when he said, V'chol beisi ne'emon. In my house, he is a faithful man. He understands what it means when you give your pledge to somebody and people tell you, no, it's pasach nisht, or whatever the appropriate phrase was thousands of years ago. And he said, no, sir. Loizu aderech. When I married her, I had nothing to offer her. And now when it has worked out for me as it has, that's not the time to part company. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechol Beis Hinei Emunah. Something to think about. We leave it over.